Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We've been talking a lot last hour or so about Steph Curry and the fact that no KD on the team last night. Needed that win down 0-1 in the series.
KD ain't been on the team in a couple years, man.
He ain't been on the team in 3 years,
that's,
man.
My point is, in Steph Curry's career in the finals.
Why do you have to frame it off the top that way, though?
Because in Steph Curry's career in the finals, when it's been a 50-50 type of game, when he hasn't had overwhelming firepower, right? So, of course, it's easy to have your chest out. You got KD, everybody on their team. You can't lose.
You know, KD wanted to join their team, right?
I get it. Okay. But it's a separate issue.
What you said, they was rolling nice and easy, huh? They set the regular season record without KD.
They did when it mattered most in the fourth quarter.
Dudes got hurt, messed up.
Whatever. Went away. Not a single point. And last night.
Have you ever rolled your ankle, man?
Steph, last night.
Kashi, I want to ask you a legit athlete question.
I've had for a non-athlete, you can't imagine how many. I have at least three serious injuries right now that you would think
You ever rolled your ankle really bad?
Like a high ankle sprain type thing?
I'm talking about like you step off something and your whole ankle touches the ground.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah.
How long has
No. Where the whole ankle touched the ground? No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So you wouldn't really understand what it is to play on a high ankle sprain.
Jay.
Ever. I'm just asking you. No. Don't give me any analysis. Just answer me directly.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to put that in perspective. Okay.
Great.
Go ahead.
He seemed to
against the best athletes the world.
Right. He seemed to have no problem scoring early. It's late in the game when they needed it most that he didn't score a single point.
So, hey, Max, let me cut you off now.
Yeah.
Now I'll cut you off. Yeah. Jay did it and I'll do it. Okay. So you keep saying he had a problem scoring late in games and this, that, and the other and the whole deal. So with you saying that, then you weren't satisfied with the way he played yesterday then, huh?
I was.
Why were you satisfied with the way he played yesterday? Because he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Well, hold on. Let me finish. No. Let me finish before you come New York slick on me. He didn't play yesterday. Mm-hmm. So do you weigh that in your critique of Steph Curry, because he didn't play in the fourth quarter.
That's L.A. slick right there.
What do you mean?
What I'm talking about, obviously, is when the team needs it most. If you can put the game away in the third quarter, that's awesome, right? Steph, in a game that looked like the Warriors could easily lose, the Celtics are winning. This would be the second game you dropped at home. You'd be down 0-2 and now have to go on the road. After the first game, you hit all those open threes early, but you couldn't do anything late. To me, now it's crunch time. It could be in the third quarter. It could be crunch time in the third. If you could put the game away in the third quarter, go ahead. Steph came up big when the team needed it most, back against the walls, in the finals, at home, second half of the game. That's the same thing as doing it in the fourth quarter.
So you do.
They won the game.
You do realize everybody else contributed yesterday as well, where in game one, everybody else didn't contribute,
of course,
in the third quarter.
In fact,
they allowed Brown to go crazy, Jaylen Brown, on them in the third quarter.
If you're pointing to me saying, Max, you're reducing a team game to like a one-on, like a boxing match, like a one-on-one thing,
yeah.
You're guilty of that? Yes, of course I'm somewhat guilty of that. We are evaluating.
As long as you admit that you are wrong and guilty of it.
No, I didn't say wrong. I said guilty of reducing something to an absurd level, right? To a one-on-one level. And it's not wrong. When we are evaluating the greatest players who ever lived, it's a given. Steph is among them. The question is where? And before you crack the top 10, that's the type of stuff I need to see. Maybe it's not the tough type of stuff y'all need to see.
But what if he never wins an MVP, man? What if he never wins a championship MVP and in the fourth quarter he gives you 15 in the fourth quarter and they win, and but he doesn't get the MVP.
Is it a hard and fast? No, it's not hard and fast rule. Of course not. It's mostly correlated with the best player in the series who comes up big, but if for some reason he didn't win the MVP, but we all saw it. Like,
he's averaging 32 in the NBA Finals right now.
I see it at 32 in the NBA Finals.
This is what I'm saying, guys. If we just all honest about it, in 15, did you see it? In 16, in the finals, did you see it? In 17 and 18, he had KD, right?
I can't see it in 16 because the man was hurt.
And by the way, in 15, I did see it.
And in 15, I saw it.
Yeah, I saw him be that guy for his team.
By the way, his play kind of fell off in the finals compared to the regular season.
Can I tell you what was going on in 15? Mm-hmm. Iman Shumpert is one of my really good friends. We've had so many conversations. Look out there on YouTube. You'll hear these podcasts where Ty Lue was like, yo, what, y'all need to get up. Like, we need to run doubles at him. Like, you need to not let him breathe. He was doing it.
He was making the right basketball play.
He was the deciding factor in everything that Cleveland did defensively from a scheme perspective.
Joey in Detroit. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
How y'all doing, man?
What up, baby?
What's up, Joey?
What's the move? Yeah, I had said I was going to call back because, you know, like, I got to defend my dog, but, like, I'm only 22, but Max, bro, it's an 82-game season. So you can't say, like, that injury, like, barring that, because, like, the best ability, availability, and, like, they give Bron credit for being Iron Man. And Curry had to overcome all them ankle injuries. It's not just about who the most talented, but who could survive the longest. Like, for example, not talking resume, but who a better player, Steph or KD? KD. But you could argue if Steph was 7 feet with his skill set, then he would be, but he not. So same thing if you're going against a team that's injured. It don't matter. The cards in the deck never dealt out evenly. It's how it's how you play the cards you got in your hand. So you
that's
can only face what's put in front of you. And this notion that that 2016 Cavs team was so much better, I don't believe that, because it took an all-time performance from Bron and Kai, and the choke from the Warriors, which they did, but they were still up 3-1. So with the Warriors playing that bad, it still came down within a few possessions in the Game 7. So if you reset the bar back to neutral, those teams were a lot more even than what people get them credit for. And having lost in that manner, I believe experiencing that kind of pressure, Curry would have lived up to it the next season. And they ain't need KD. Max, what have you consistently said about white privilege? You understand it's there, but you will use it to your advantage if you get it. If you get a job offer and you know it's because of white privilege, you're not going to turn it down because it's not fair. Golden State didn't need KD, but if he there and available, you're not going to scoff at the opportunity.
Yeah.
And if your team get injured, don't
I
make
think
excuses.
That's all very well argued.
Hey, man,
I think that is extreme.
I'm going to bring him in the studio.
What?
I'm going to bring you in the studio and lay down some tracks, and you're going to spit that to Max just like that.
I think keep it moving. That is all very well argued. It's a persuasive argument. My main argument is not arguing against Steph Curry's greatness. That's unquestionable. What I'm saying is if he's going to wind up in the top 10 ever, then there's going to have to be some kind of, well, he was hurt this and that. It's Game 7 at home, fourth quarter. Will you come through? Now, it may not be those exact circumstances again, but I saw it last night. Second half of a game, you could easily lose. You're at home. You need to win. Will you come through then? Last night, he did. That's what I'm looking for. There haven't been, to my eye, many games like that for him in the finals, where it's like an evenly matched situation. The Warriors might lose. It's late in the game. Steph imposes himself on the game somehow and gets the win. I haven't seen that enough from him to put him in my top 10 all time. That's what I'm arguing. But that last caller was spitting some fire right there. Paul in Queens. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
How y'all guys doing, man?
What's up?
What up, P?
What's happening?
Yeah, what's up? Listen, Matt, this is basically for Max. Max, listen, I'm 69 years old, been around the game for a long time. You have to stop apologizing to anybody about saying that he's the greatest three-point player of all time. Three-point shooters don't win championships. They never will. That's why D'Antoni is a bad coach, because he's a three-point guy. Okay, so that's not really – it's a good record, okay, but it doesn't make you great, doesn't put you in the top 10. And Max is right and whatnot. And when KD – without KD, they wouldn't have won those two. And probably the third one, because Kyrie and Kevin Love wasn't even in the game. But KD scored the most important points, the most monumental points to impact the game. That's what – Michael Jordans and the Magics and the Kareems and the Elijah Wans do, okay? And Curry has not done that. Even if he did it, does it one time. Max is 100% right, whatnot. You know, you can't take. There's nobody in the top 15 you could take out for Curry. But people push Curry because they want to make him the face of the league or whatnot. It's an institutional thing, man. So you stand with your guns, Max.
I hear you. The top 15. Guns, top 15.
You don't think that Steph Curry changed anything in the NBA for the last 10 years? He didn't change nothing.
The three-point shot has hurt the league as much as it's helped and whatnot. When guys are under the basket for a layup and throw it out to the three-point line,
I agree with you, that's
garbage. And they've completely destroyed the mid-range game, like Michael Jordan was the master of the mid-range.
You think it's destroyed because people can hit from distance?
When you got people under the basket, I said, and they can make a layup and you're throwing it back out.
Yeah, because I got somebody on my team that can knock down two. Because somebody, two is great, three is greater than two. I take that all day.
I appreciate that point. What I would say is this, though, and we're going to bring Alan Hahn in here, that to say Steph Curry's not top 15 is something else. Jay makes a very persuasive argument. When you look, however they get there, Steph Curry's presence in Golden State has led to three championships so far. He's the reason, really, and that way of playing, why KD wanted to play there. I'm not arguing against his greatness or his top 15 status. We're splitting hairs, but I'm talking about why I don't have him in my top 10.
Understood.
So,
really quick point, because you've also said that KD has a chance to finish top 10 when it's all said and done.
I think he'll be first in over a Steph.
So
yeah, he's better than Steph. They played on the same team. He was
better. I just want to hear that same heat, because without Steph being on the court, KD never gets two world championships.
No doubt. Without Magic, Kareem doesn't get those five.
He never gets two NBA finals, right?
Well, five of them is MVP. Five of them is because of Magic. That's why Kareem was able to win those titles. In fact, without Oscar Robertson, he doesn't get one in Milwaukee.
You better leave Kareem out your name, man.
But that's the point, Key. Kareem is ahead of Magic. But of course he needed Magic to win. KD's probably going to be ahead of Steph, but of course he needed Steph to win, right?
So Steph wins this one, you're going to have KD ahead of Steph?
Yeah, I would. They played on the same team in their primes, and KD was clearly the better player, so he's ahead. Yeah,
but how would he be ahead if Steph has another championship without him?
Yeah, that has to do with circumstances.
It goes back to your whole Bill Belichick, Tom Brady thing. Well, Tom has won without Bill Belichick, so now you're not going to apply that to this?
Interesting.
Alan Hahn, you're here.
It is an interesting point. It doesn't win the argument, but it's an interesting point. Alan Hahn, what's happening? Alan?
I can't believe a caller is trying to now blame the three-point shot. It's just a skill added to the game. It's like saying in the NFL, you should run the football more. Forget throwing down the field. I mean, it's the way the game's going. But this has been a very interesting conversation, because it feels like we've been having it for a couple of weeks now. And whenever we do this, and I think the last time I was on, I gave you that list,
ten
that the NBA qualified as their so-called top 10 when they put out the top 75. And it's like, all right, who do you send home? Somebody's got to go home if Steph Curry's moving into the 10. It's not easy, but I keep coming away with an argument of Wilt Chamberlain. I do it only based on, if we're going to do it based on, you won't give Steph Curry the regular season crown. Even though he was in the regular season the best player in the league. You said, well, what happened at the end of the season? Who was the best player when they raised the trophy in 2016? And you're right. You're right about that. So if we're doing that, Wilt Chamberlain was a dominant player in the regular season. Dominant. Mm-hmm. But with his two championships, he never had a Game 7 where he had to come up huge, like you were holding it against Steph in 2016, Game 7 at home. And the Game 7 that he should have dominated in 1970, which you know well, Max, he didn't. He came up small.
Look at his stats. Look at his free throw. Alan,
1-for-11 against Willis Reed had one leg.
And by the way, the knock on Wilt Chamberlain from the people who watched him through that era is, when you needed him to score, he gave you his assist rebound. When you needed him to move the ball, he gave the points. I would say for Wilt, Alan, there's a little bit of difference. His level of dominance normally is so ridiculously high, and he has the two championships. Let's flip it.
Let's flip it. I know Jay can relate to this. Flip it. Physical dominance for a smallish player in Steph Curry.
Sure.
Can't you also flip it and say, for what he can do in a game of giant men is remarkable?
But in the end, you evaluate the efficacy of both play, like the effectiveness of both players. And
Steph's may be
a more impressive feat, doesn't make it a more valuable one.
Why not?
Because you could be more impressed by something. For example, you could see a 5'8" guy dunk like Nate Robinson. Doesn't mean his dunk. He doesn't mean he gets up as high as a guy who's taller than him.
But Steph Curry is not dunking on people. What he's doing as a smaller guy is getting shots off against bigger people.
Yes, it's harder to do because the game selects out for size. So I'm not arguing that Wilt's more skilled than Steph.
Trust me on this. I learned it last week. Moving and catching and shooting and still being lights out with somebody physically, you know, shoving, pushing, getting a hand up, all that stuff. That is a really hard thing to do that he makes look so easy.
Yes.
For someone that's given up 40 pounds, 50 pounds on a lot of the people he's playing against.
Sure. We're not arguing pound for pound who's the best. Then it would be Steph. But I get it. I agree with you. Well, it's very impressive.
Okay.
Doesn't make him the best. It makes it very impressive. Makes him the most skilled. But we're talking about
who's
better.
He's a winner. They win because of him. They win because of that. That's what Draymond even was trying to point out. The reason why KD could go off was because, unlike in Oklahoma City and unlike what he's learning in Brooklyn, he's got all the attention is on him. Look at Luka. All the attention's on him.
No question.
But don't have that when he goes to Golden State because all the attention's on Steph
Curry. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He's also been in a situation in a great organization, great front office, coach, Clay, Dre, et cetera.
Here's what I would say about that part, though, Max. Mm-hmm. He makes the front office great because he's there. makes the front office great because he's there. And if he's there, guess what? They've got to find complementary pieces to go with his greatness.
I agree.
You know what, Key?
Let
me say this. Key,
who are you bumping?
Max,
he's bumping Wilt. Out there. Are you?
Hang on. Let me throw this out there. Because would you say, and Key, you can answer this better than anybody, is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback to ever play as far as just all the physical attributes, just everything you'd want in a quarterback?
No.
Where would you rank him as far as just skill, talent, ability against every where would he be? Would he be top 10?
At all time, he might be 15.
Maybe 15. Very interesting you would say top 15 because that's where we are right now. Wouldn't you say, though, his impact on winning in that organization and what they did for him, what he did for them was remarkable?
It's
and
number
that's what
one.
Elevates him to number one.
It's number one.
So can we then say, because it's longevity in a franchise, winning, culture, standard, the way they built around him, all that stuff, wouldn't you consider then Steph Curry on the same kind of plane, not level, plane, as Tom Brady would be for the NFL, especially with the Patriots?
Yeah, but I probably would put Steph slightly above Tom. And the reason that is because Tom didn't change the game. Steph Curry changed the game. Nobody's in the backyard trying to throw like Tom Brady.
Great point.
Kids are in the backyard trying to shoot like Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to throw like Patrick Mahomes.
And they're trying to throw like Patrick Mahomes.
So I would put
Steph up just a little, you know,
but
just
Steph Curry,
because of that.
Steph Curry, no one's arguing his greatness, but Alan, he's not the greatest. Like, if you're counting rings and all that stuff, he's still not in that conversation.
Oh, no,
there are guys ahead of him
done.
There, too.
He's not done.
He is not, done, which is why I said, let's see. Jay said it's trending toward top 10. Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
So a performance like last night is atypical of Steph in the finals. You're down. You need the win at home. Second half of the game, he takes over and wins. That has not been his typical performance in the finals.
I have a question to ask.
But
Max,
it has not been typical.
I have a question about
game six?
Hold on real quick, Alan. We talk a lot about the body of work. I'm curious about your body of work. Mm-hmm. Have you ever acknowledged publicly that you've been wrong about something?
Of course, many times.
You sure?
Yeah, many times.
Oh, I've never heard you.
I've conceded points in this argument. I said, when I said, have you learned anything? You said no. But meanwhile, I've moved your opinion, but you don't
you
admit
really
to it.
You haven't really moved my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I have. Oh, yeah, I have.
No, you haven't. Okay. You're doing it again.
Max was wrong once, but then he realized, he was actually right. So he was wrong.
Look, man,
that was the time he admitted he was wrong.
Right.
Look, Steph Curry wins this championship this year in the finals. He's going to get the MVP. I would bet my right arm, if they win, he's probably going to be the MVP.
And watch this, Key.
On top of that, that will have four championships, if I'm correct and I'm counting, no matter who was on his team. He also changed the game.
Two-time MVP.
He's the two-time MVP. The only player, am I correct? Unanimous? Am I right on that one?
NBA
in the history. In the NBA history.
Well, it is a regular season award.
Shaq won a regular season award. Jordan won a regular season award.
Yeah, they also won the finals, though.
New York Max.
Not a single point.
I just said if and when he wins the NBA Finals MVP trophy.
But I'll give him more credit. But I want to – hold on. I never get this point off. You guys stop me right here. If Steph wins finals
–
see? If Steph wins finals MVP this year and deserves it and they win the championship, right, we will start to think – when I ask Jay, I'll bet you anything, who's the best player in the game? Now, all of a sudden, where he's saying Giannis now, you might be like, you know what? It might be Steph.
But that would be something new, and it would be directly related to his playing well in the finals. Ten. I ain't talking about. I was getting to the top ten, Max. I don't care about no Giannis. I'm talking about Steph in the top ten.
All
is
time.
What I was getting at.
Okay. And so Allen is taking Wilt Chamberlain out.
What I was saying is when you start to add his accolades up over the course of his career, when he's all said and done, he will be on par with everybody there.
Who are you taking out? I'm just curious. Allen's taking Wilt out. I'd probably, if that were the case, probably take Duncan out. Who are you taking out?
I would probably take both of those guys out.
And put KD and Steph in?
See, I don't know. I don't know that I would put KD in. I don't know that I would put KD in just like that, though. Because KD won with Steph. And KD ain't showing me anything other than he's a good player without Steph.
Allen, it may be an issue of personal preference, but to me, as long as the longevity is enough, right? It's like good enough. I don't look just to longevity. I look at the peak hit. That's what I think we mean when we say greatness. So if someone said greatest starting pitcher ever, I think Sandy Koufax has a very good argument, even though he only had a half a dozen prime years, right?
Okay.
What I see with Steph and KD, the problem I see is they played on the same team at their best, and there was no one debated who's the best. Like, obviously, KD was the better player. So I have a hard time putting Steph over KD, even if the career accomplishments give it to Steph.
Okay. And then when the Miami Heat had the Heatles together, right? Does LeBron win a championship? Not for Ray Allen making the most incredible play when LeBron wasn't making incredible plays in that game. Do we hold that against LeBron?
No.
No.
But he wasn't. But LeBron was clearly the best player on the team. I'm not talking about a single player.
The better player on your team at that moment is nice. But again, you were discounting not those years. You were discounting the unanimous MVP year that they ended up losing the game, okay? LeBron James was the best player in the game that year, and they were about to lose, if not for a tip by Chris Bosh and a three-pointer clutch in the corner by Ray Allen.
Right.
Otherwise,
but that's
that
very
game
different.
Is over.
That's very different from having the greatest regular season record of all time and not scoring.
We don't have this conversation.
And not scoring a single point in the last 4:30 at home in Game 7. Come on, man. There's a big difference.
You're right. You are right about the end of that game and the turnover, which was a terrible pass. And Jay is right about the fact that he was dealing with an injury, and that also is a part of the. All these things factor in. I think that's the problem with this: is you're being very absolute. And there are so many factors.
No, I'm not
that
being absolute. I'm saying he's top 15 now. Eventually, maybe he'll crack the top 10. But he needs to get on my list. He needs to have kind of finals games that he had last night. And he has to continue to do it and win the finals.
That part I will concede and say
I feel like
this championship is very important to this conversation. I do agree with that part of it.
But that's the part. What do you mean that part of it?
But I'll tell you this.
Yeah, right? He's saying finals MVP.
Yeah, he's saying finals MVP. Two games MVP. In, I think. They're carving his name into the trophy. He's two games in. He's the best player in the series.
He's probably going to win it if they win it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll see what everyone says.
If he wins it and he plays the next 5 years like I predict, he'll probably win another one. And then he'll probably win some other accolades and he'll slide in the top 10.
He'll be the smallest player in the top 10, by the way.
Easily. He's the greatest 6'3 or under player of all time already.
Also, keep this, but you want to do caveats. Again, when he didn't win the MVP that first championship, that is a media decision. Look at his numbers in that.
No, of course, but they couldn't give it to him because he was half as good as LeBron and they played in the same series. They had to give it to the guy who supposedly guarded LeBron. That's Allen Hahn, ladies and gentlemen. Conceding that I'm right about the point that I'm making. Amazing.
You see what we go through every day, Allen?
You see, I just hang out for the past 7 minutes.
You didn't ask me a single question about Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. Let's
what do you
go.
Think? Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. You have 5 seconds. Yes maybe. Or no?
Go on, maybe.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Quinn Snyder to the Knicks. Hot take. I heard it here first.
Get the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. Is Josh Allen really the NFL's best quarterback?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Check out what Dan Orlovsky had to say about Baker Mayfield.
I think Baker Mayfield walks away as the steal of the NFL draft.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano with us now.
We had a running joke with Foxworth and Saturday about Monday Dan Orlovsky, because he always said some splashy thing that provided great content for the rest of the week, right? So, like, on Tuesday, we loved Monday Dan.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes building home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. ESPN NFL analyst, Monday morning, Dan Orlovsky joins the show. What's up, Dan?
What's up, buddy? How are you doing?
Doing well. There was an article that came out recently ranking all 32 quarterbacks heading into the season, and it had Josh Allen ranked number one. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, I said a couple weeks ago, I know that we live in this media world that we like rankings. We like lists. It makes people mad, whatever. And usually it's this, give me your top five. And I really believe, and I've never shied away from that, that it's really hard to say, give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL or the AFC, for that matter, right now. And it's a very unique time, because 2 years ago that wasn't the case. You felt good about doing that. It's just there are so many young superstars at that position, specifically in the AFC. Like, I think it's very hard to argue, well, if it's not Josh Allen, then who is it? Well, of course, then it's Patrick Mahomes. But do we really feel unequivocally, no question, that Patrick is a better player or a more challenging defense than Patrick or Josh Allen is? Like, I feel that. And I said this during the season last year, Max, when the Bills use Josh Allen with that sprinkle the way the Baltimore Ravens use Lamar Jackson, he really becomes the most indefensible quarterback in the league with everything that you have to do to slow him down. Now, Patrick is the most talented. He's arguably the best, but it's really difficult to sit here and go, Josh doesn't, I guess, belong and or deserve. But I really have a ton of respect for those two players specifically, and they're head to head.
Yeah, you know what, Dan, you're right about certain things. In this case right here, you're wrong about him being the number one guy. Patrick Mahomes is the number one guy. Then followed up by Aaron Rodgers, followed up by Tom Brady. Then you get into an argument, is it Joe Burrow, is it Josh Allen? Because in the end, you got to win something for me. You just got to. And I understand he's young, and I understand it wasn't his fault that he lost in Kansas City and he battled back hard and he hit lasers and all. I get all that. But he's got to win something before we start saying he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. And I know it's not your list. It was somebody else's list. You just somewhat agreed with him a little bit to me.
Yeah, I just my thing would be this, Key. I think if you took Josh Allen off of the Buffalo Bills and you inserted Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, those teams are really going to be very similar. If you took Josh Allen and put him on the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be very similar. If you took Josh Allen and put him on the Packers, that's the way. That's my point with, like, these guys are so special and so good that I know we live in this world where we want to make this top three or top five list, and we can't because the talent is just so high. I can't sit here and say that if you took Josh Allen and you put him on Green Bay and what they've had over the past couple of years, that he's not the back-to-back MVP of the NFL. I honestly don't think that's a outrageous statement in the least.
No, but he's got to grow some whiskers for me. It's too, you know what I'm saying? It's too early for to play the switcheroo game.
And no Daboll. Like,
the switcheroo game. Yeah, the switcheroo game, Dan, with a guy like Josh Allen, because he's only given us 2 years. He's got to give me a little bit more like Mahomes, a little bit more like Roger Brady. They got, when you get in year seven and he's still doing the same thing that he did in year four, now we talking, we cooking.
Nah, that's fair. That's fair. I don't think the dude's slowing down now. Like, I don't believe that he, and I get the whole Daboll thing, but if you talk to people who have been around Ken Dorsey, they think it's going to be, you know, in lockstep, a lateral transition. So I just don't see him slowing down and becoming a guy that we have questions about just because of the character and the work ethic.
Which quarterback has the most to prove this season? Which guy out there, young or old, needs to show us something?
Yeah, I think the guy that with the most to prove is Tua Tagovailoa. You know, I really believe he's under more pressure than any Dolphins player ever since Dan Marino. The Dolphins really quietly done a really nice job of surrounding him with, I think, top five support. The signing at left tackle of Teron Armstead is massive. They've invested draft capital into their offensive line, early draft capital into their offensive line, early draft capital into their skill position with Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. They signed three tailbacks this year that are really good players. They go get offensive-minded Mike McDaniel, who they're hoping as a head coach is Sean McVay, essentially, and then obviously the addition of Tyreek Hill. I think he's got the most to prove because of expectation. I think he's got the most to prove because of, candidly, what the draft class is doing. You know, it does matter that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are having their the start of their careers that they are now. I think that the guy that's under the most pressure is Dak Prescott. Again, I believe in the NFL, pressure does not come from where am I going to be working next year. Pressure comes from expectation. And I think with the reality of you're the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and we can't call them America's team and say that they're America's team and everybody loves them and not place more pressure and expectation on the quarterback. Those two things cannot happen at the same time. But the contract and the division that they play in, I think he's under the most pressure. Tua has the most to prove.
Hmm. Justin Herbert, too, got to make the playoffs eventually. It's not going to be easy.
No.
Well, we can argue that another day, Monday morning, Dan. This is Monday morning Max talking to you.
Yeah, but it cannot be playoffs for Herbert. I mean, it's AFC title or bust. That roster is as good as anybody's in the league.
Okay, so that's even more pressure.
For the Chargers, yeah. I think there's a little bit more of a question mark attached to Tua and – you know, obviously the contract with Dak, that's just the truth of the league. But I think the Chargers And the AFC is brutal. You got to stay healthy. All that.
Go blah, with blah, you. Blah. And so let me.
I know, but let me ask you this real quick. 10 seconds, Dan. No Russell Wilson.
I think it's a mandatory win tenure. I don't think it's a mandatory win year.
Okay.
There it is. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst extraordinaire here on
Sleep Keyshawn, is sleep is the cousin of death.
Oh, you never sleep. Listen, a little Nas quote. Monday
that boy.
Dan brings everything. Appreciate it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Does not knowing the rules make players look at coaches or managers differently? It's a big reason we're asking this. It happened in sports over the weekend. We'll talk about that next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Good weekend, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I feel like it was, have you ever had, because both my kids are under four, Key, and I got a third one on the way. Have you ever had, like, when the weekends get there, and it starts so early, my son was crying at 5 a.m. Next thing you know, my daughter was up at 5:15. And everybody's sleep schedule's off. I got kids going a different direction, screaming, yelling. They're hungry. They want to play. They're running around the house. We're trying to get
so
them outside. I did, but it's like, have you ever had those weekends where your kids are at that age where you're just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like I
wait till you get three and you're going into a zone defense,
oh,
Jay.
Oh, my God. That's where I feel like I'm at, Key. Like, I literally, it comes Monday morning. It's like, what'd you do this week? I'm like, wait, what did I do? I changed a lot of diapers. I fed a lot of kids.
Why are you complaining? That's what you're supposed to do.
First off, don't shape my narrative as complaining. I'm talking through it with two dads of multiple kids.
I'll tell you what, I miss changing diapers. I miss it.
Was that the easy part? Don't tell
me. You know, it's like a. It's like
you know
a,
that, you know that when. I got to watch the kids. Yes, they're yours. What do you mean you got to watch them?
Key, do you miss changing diapers? Do you miss it at all?
No, I changed my daughter. My daughter's
two. Oh, yeah, you got a little one. Yeah. Did you miss it when you weren't in it?
Doesn't even think of really never. I mean, it's easy. It's just a.
But I miss it. I mean, inevitably, if you're not in the house a lot, it takes you longer to do it, right, than your wife if she's doing that more than you. But I miss it, man. Like, my youngest is seven, and I miss changing diapers.
See, my son tries to fight me every time I change. He's fight me. I'm talking about, and there's
like a bonding.
So he's turning. I'm like, stop turning. Jay,
has he peed on you yet?
Oh, yeah, he's already tried to get me a couple times, though. It's been, I got those quick cat-like reflexes like the Matrix, man. You ain't going to catch me, because look, I know where it's coming from. Now,
and once the wind hit it, it's a wrap.
What, are you doing it outdoors?
No, it's just wind and the cold air hit it, it comes. I mean, that's what it does.
What? Phrasing. All I'm saying is I love changing my son's diapers in public. I'm like, yeah, show the people what you got.
Yeah, your kid.
Show them what you're working with, son.
Let me see. You got two both walking, right?
Yep, both walking now. Well, my son, he's learning.
They get mobile, boy.
Yeah, he's everywhere. My son just has he doesn't care. He want to jump off everything. Yeah. I'm like, you can crack your, he doesn't care. My daughter would be like, oh, what? No, that's
you always
too
have
high.
That. I think he, not even gender. You just have that one kid who you're like, that one is going to be hot. You know, emergency room visits and stitches
injury
and
prone.
Stuff. Yeah, injury prone.
Oh yeah,
prone
no,
kids.
For sure. Yeah. You're gonna have a son. Yeah, he gonna scratch up some stuff.
For sure. My son is just running around the house, butt naked, holding the basketball. I'm like, that's right.
I want to see him spill red Gatorade on that white sofa of yours. That's what I want to see.
Who has a white sofa?
You. That linen sofa, beach, the one, you know, in your family room?
Liars.
Yeah, no, you got
liars.
That.
Liars. With those nice hardwood floors?
Restoration Hardware, yeah, white nice beach sofa. Floors.
I'm trying to get the outside pizza oven like
Keith. Back. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN app. Download it. Play us. Say play ESPN if you have smart speakers. We pop up. Download the podcast. Guys, so the umps barred Dodgers manager Dave Roberts from using a position player in the ninth inning against the Mets on Saturday night because they were enforcing a rule that prevents teams from using non-pitchers with a deficit of five runs or fewer. By the way, I had no idea about this rule. I'm a baseball fan. I didn't know when they put this stupid rule in place. And why can't you, the manager, use whoever he wants on the roster to pitch? Ridiculous.
Well, Dave anyway. Roberts knew about the rule.
Roberts said, well, he claims he did not realize until the rule was in effect after it was initially passed prior to 2020. So it's a pretty new rule. And then suspended for 2 years amid rules adjustments prompted by the pandemic. So they institute a new rule, and then suddenly they're, you know, everything changes. So they don't even enforce the rule because of the pandemic. And now suddenly this funky, weird new rule that, stupid to me, is back. And Dave Roberts was affected by it. But you claim, Jay, he did know the rule.
Oh, I don't claim that. I just wanted to send the article to Key because the Mets won the game, and I wanted to poke him a little bit.
I see.
Since I've become a new Mets fan, yeah. You know, obviously last game was not a good game.
Let me know at the end of the season how that Mets fandom is working out for you.
That's okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I know what he's doing. He think he's slick. He threw out the ball for him. He done went over there and drank up on the owner's liquor. I know what he did, smiling.
How do I think I'm slick? I put it on our text thread. I didn't tweet about it. I didn't post about it.
Look, he's sitting there cheesing and smiling and shaking hands and kissing babies. I know what he's doing. As soon as I saw it.
Buck is my good friend, the owner of the Dodgers. We're really good friends. We've owned businesses together.
Yeah, Buck. Yeah.
Same thing. Ah, you don't call him Magic, you call him Buck.
Well, I mean, whatever. We're not talking about the Dodgers. We're talking about the Mets. As soon as I saw the text, the first thing I said is, Jay want to start a Dodger-Met war, and I get it. And he wants to be a Met fan, and he knows that I'm a Dodger fan, so he wants to try to get into a tit-for-tat Max Kellerman type thing. Mm. So I'm going to appease him. I'm going to appease him and do that. Here's what I would say, though. The skipper in Dave Roberts made a mistake, and his mistake was, at the time, not necessarily knowing a relatively new rule that was put into place where you got to be down six runs or more at a certain time in the game before you can put somebody other than a relief pitcher in the pitch. He didn't know, so he bought time by calling to New York to give the reliever time to warm up. That's all.
I just want to read something that I had. Smart. After position players made 90 pitching appearances in 2019 and 75 in 2018, Major League Baseball and the Players Association agreed prior to the 2020 season to outlaw using position players as pitchers in games with a deficit of five runs or fewer. The rule was suspended the past 2 years amid concerns over pitcher injuries prompted by the pandemic, but was reinstored this season.
What is this? Little
League? Relatively new.
But why? I don't even understand the rule. Like, pitch whoever you want to pitch.
This is why I think it's somewhat of a bad look for Dave Roberts. How can not only did he not, nobody else on the staff knew that the rule was reinstated?
Well, it probably was too late by the time he argued it. Jay, I didn't see it. I didn't see the game. So I don't know exactly what happened. But if I'd have saw the game, I could have told you, based on reading body language and all of that sort of stuff, on what their communication was. I believe that by the time they called New York, there was conversations given by somebody upstairs, downstairs, in the dugout. I think this rule is here, but it was too late, and he needed to get the reliever.
Yeah, I think
warmed up,
I'm with you.
So
I'm
he played it like that.
I'm with your first take. If you're a manager and you're being slick, which you should be.
Of course.
You're being smart. You want to give your guy time to warm up. You know you have to call New York. It's going to take some time. The rule, the whole thing. And so you buy the guy enough time to get loose.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's good.
What if New York got it wrong? Because it's not like they don't get stuff wrong, right? And what if the umps got it wrong? It's not like the umps never get anything
wrong. I wish someone could explain to me the point of the rule. Who cares if a lot of position players made relief pitching appearances? Who cares? Like, why is that a rule?
It's probably I would think it would be.
If you don't like it, just ban it.
I think it would be a rule basically because maybe you lose jobs or something.
I think you need so many pitchers, Key, because everyone's throwing so hard now to get through a season. Manager's probably like, you know, I could take some burden off the pitching staff, save some pitches in their
arms. That's what he was trying to do, yeah. Save the arms for the next day.
Basically, you throw in the towel. You're done.
But also, you're not dipping into your bullpen because, as Key says, you want to save your arms. So it's the same thing with, like, banning the shift. I don't know why. So bunt.
I hate the shift, though. The shift is the worst
thing.
I hate it, too, but
I don't know why teams aren't taking advantage of the shift. If you do, they'll stop shifting.
I hate it, though. It's the worst thing ever. I agree. I don't want to see a big gap between second base.
But, Key, it's there because these guys still try to pull the ball. Why do I need to see two dudes
standing next to each other at shortstop? Like,
right.
What the hell?
But Key, look, let me ask you something. There's this crazy shift up, right? You come up to the plate. Are you going to still try to pull the ball into the shift? Are you going to try and take it the other way? Even lay down a bunt
Then they'll stop shifting. Maybe it wasn't because when I played baseball, nobody shifted. Yeah. Everybody just stayed shortstop, stayed right there.
Once in a blue, a manager would do something severe, and it's like he's a genius.
Well, no, you will tell a guy to slide over slightly. But this is drastic, though.
No, but what I mean is someone like Billy Martin might suddenly play the second baseman, and you have two center fielders, and people are like, he's a genius. But that would happen once every 2 years.
But I was about to say, I've never seen that happen back in the day. Never. Right fielder was playing right field. He wasn't playing center, standing next to the other center. Hey, how you doing?
They figured out a way to play the most efficient baseball possible. It turns out no one wants to watch it.
They should just have two catchers behind the bat.
It's the old triple catcher alignment.
I wonder if you can do that. That's a shift.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, we are back in a couple of minutes. Hang tight, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.